The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary. And it's your turn. Ask the pastor at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest today, Pastor Randy Asbury from Hope Lutheran Church on Neosho in South St. Louis. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good. Good to have you in the studio. Our phones are open at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you have a topic for us, you don't have to stick with what we're talking about. We'd like to hear from you today on Ask the Pastor, underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. And I've got a few clippings here, but let's see what's in your file folder over there. You've got some things highlighted. Yeah, what do you have for us today?
Oh, boy, I brought all kinds of stuff here. Looked up some articles on the civil unions law in the state of Illinois and the cases with the Catholic Charities, what the state is doing with them, what they're doing in return, that kind of thing. Found a couple of interesting articles about pastors. One voted top 50 most powerful people in Orlando, Florida. Another pastor leaving over some certain charges that might surprise you.
Mm.
And one that we, I think, both picked out, maybe a common interest here. Depression claims many pastors and ministry leaders was one headline.
That's a brand new story that just popped up today on the ChristianPost.com website. Since you've got some research on what's going on in Illinois, let's give the backstory here. Illinois officials won't renew foster care and adoption contracts with Catholic Charities, a move that could end a decades-long relationship that's been in the spotlight following the state's new civil unions law. Catholic Charities has received state funds for placing children with families for years, but since Illinois adopted a civil unions law, which gives gay couples many of the same rights as married couples, the Catholic Social Services Agency has objected, saying the law threatens some religious beliefs. The Rockford Diocese ended its adoptions and foster care program in May, saying it didn't want to comply with the law. Currently, agencies in four dioceses, Peoria, Joliet, Springfield, and Belleville, provide adoption and foster care services in Illinois. Three have sued state officials for threatening to enforce new policies that accommodate civil unions. So the Illinois officials won't renew foster care and adoption contracts with Catholic Charities. It looks like they're both split on this issue. And what did you find out about that? And does that impact Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Southern Illinois?
Well, to your last question, I think it probably will and probably should. The Catholic Charities is objecting to this new law because they could be forced now to work out adoptions for same-sex couples or couples living together without marriage. Both items go against church teaching, both for Catholics and for us Lutherans. And so the charities are very concerned about this. They will be forced to practice something that goes against one of the main tenets of their faith, their conscience even, and that is to help these couples out who are obviously living in sin according to God's word. So that's where the issue lies here. And the Catholic Charities are trying to – well, let me back up. The Catholic Charities organizations were trying to get the state to put in a law that – religious organizations would be exempt from prosecution, from discrimination for standing by their beliefs. Mm-hmm. That did not happen in the law that Illinois passed. And so now the Catholic Charities and the other related organizations are in the diocese are finding themselves kind of behind the eight ball, saying, okay, well, we can't keep doing this then. We will not take government money to provide these adoptions for same-sex couples or people living together outside of marriage. And the state is coming after them and saying, well, if you won't do things our way, then we're not giving you our money, and we might even prosecute you. Hmm. And they did have one of the cases I read in one of these articles. The Attorney General, even back in March, I believe it was questioning one of the Catholic Charities organizations, I think it was in Rockford or maybe Chicago area, on their practices even then before this new law. So this is something of a long time coming, that this new law, that the same-sex unions or the same kind of laws that traditional marriage has, is impacting a very good work that the Catholic Charities are doing. fostering adoptions and things like that.
Yeah, and you have to feel for the kids that are going to be affected. I mean, they're caught between a rock and a hard place here. The children are the ones who are going to pay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they have made an exemption for the religious institutions? It's obvious they can't abide by that state law.
I think this is part of the agenda of this same-sex union thing in various states. They want to have their ideology put out there. They don't want anybody questioning it. They certainly don't want anybody not agreeing with it or not, you know, at least tipping a hat to it and saying, okay, we'll allow this. When they see somebody like a Catholic Charities organization, could very well be a Lutheran Family and Children's Services organization as well, making the same stand. Mm-hmm. When they see somebody doing that, they are convicted, I'm convinced, in their conscience that they're doing something that's not right by God's natural law. That's probably the heart of it.
Would probably trigger a string of lawsuits as well.
Yes.
You get
yes.
tied up in the mm-hmm. courts for years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So,
but you're right, Paul. The children are the ones being hurt.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the same-sex couples, the couples living together outside of marriage, they can still go to other organizations and get their adopted children, foster children, things like this. There are other organizations out there, state-run and others, that are not Catholic or Lutheran or religious-based, I'm sure. But for some reason, they want to zero in on these religious organizations that are taking a stand based on their faith. And I find it very ironic that many of these folks in this cultural context are finding the charity of helping adopt children and place foster children. They love this charity, but now they are starting to turn away from and spurn the font from which it comes, the Christian teaching, the moral base, the moral values, if you will, to put that term in there. They're spurning that, which is the real thing that led to these organizations doing their charities in the first place.
Or it doesn't seem fair to the kids, nor does it seem fair to impose on a child a gay couple, a lesbian couple. The children don't have any choice in the matter, do they?
Probably not. I'm not sure how
children
a lot of these other organizations
will... Children are placed in
foster homes. Yeah, they're placed there.
Especially if they're in an at-risk situation, right, they're placed in a foster home.
Right. And especially many studies are showing that children develop best in a family with a male father and a female mother, both of them, because each gender brings different things to the table, so to speak. Each gender brings different ways of raising a child, of nurturing a child. You know, fathers, for example, they're the strong ones. Mothers are the nurturing ones, the caring ones, the more emotional ones.
Well, that's what Family Research Council policy advisor Peter Sprigg told the Associated Press. He said children do best when raised by a married mother and father. And that was on the heels of adoption lawyers and agencies in New York saying they're getting ready for a baby boom as same-sex couples emboldened by the state's new gay marriage law take the next step and try to adopt children. Now, this is beyond fostering. This is adopting a child. New York will allow same-sex marriages beginning July 24th, becoming the most populous state to legalize such weddings. Thousands of couples are expected to tie the knot. The state already permits unmarried couples, both gay and straight, to adopt children, but adoption experts say marriage will bolster a couple's case. In New York, the new marriage law contains a clause allowing religious groups to deny accommodations, advantages, facilities, or privileges to same-sex couples. And that should allow church-affiliated adoption agencies to deal only with heterosexual couples, avoiding the legal controversies that have flared in other states. Pastor Asbury, do you consider this to be a war going on every day? We've got these gay issues in the news. We've still got gays in the military in the news today. And I think it's a one-sided war. I don't think our side's fighting back.
It is a war. It is a spiritual war. It is a cultural war as well. The spiritual war is, and this takes place in the cultures too, but the spiritual end of it is that we have forsaken God and what He says about how marriage works, for example, and what to do with our desires. Sexual desires, sinful desires, however you want to describe mm-hmm. them, whichever you want to focus on there. That's the first part of the war that we need to keep in mind as Christians. It is a spiritual war in which Satan loves nothing more than to drive us away from God and His Word, His ways, the life He has given us and created us to have. You see, God created us to pair off as man and woman in marriage. A husband shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, or cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That goes all the way back to creation, before the fall into sin. That is God's design for the human race. So these issues of don't ask, don't tell, or the civil unions, is going against God's plan for human life in general. Now, it's also a cultural war in that those who support things like same-sex marriage and civil unions, they are very adamant. They are very stringent. They are very strong of getting their point of view out there. It has kind of progressed, if you look back at the history of it, I think. It's progressed from just treat us nicely to something like, okay, give us equal treatment. And now I think we might be entering the phase where they're wanting some kind of a dominance or don't argue with us or some kind of stridency like that. We're not at the point yet where it's going to become the dominant institution, I don't think. Hopefully never will that happen. But they are getting stronger and stronger. It is a culture war, a big battle going on, and it's happening in the courts. It's very fascinating. These issues come in places where these kinds of issues have been decided by either courts, the judges, or just the politicians, like happened in New York just a short time ago. When this issue is put before the people of different states, even in a place like California, the people soundly say, we do not want it. So they know there's something not right going on here. It's not part of our human design as we are created by God. So it does go back to that as well. And not to mention, you can add in things like talk about being fair for the children and how children are affected. Why do homosexual couples, gay and lesbian couples, have to adopt in the first place? They cannot procreate. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. So it's not a lifestyle. It does not promote life. It does not procreate. It does not bring on the next generation. And so that is one of the silly things, I think, in this whole issue that often gets overlooked. Yes, the children are harmed, but the children are also just left out of the picture altogether in many different ways.
Perhaps, and you can correct it if it's wrong, perhaps the classic church and state issue for the last 40 years has been abortion. This is like the new major church and state issue of this millennium.
Yes, abortion is very much related.
And it's still there.
Yeah, it's still there. Oh, yes, definitely.
But this is moving up.
Yeah, it's adding another layer to it, if you will, moving up, as you said. Abortion kind of started this ball rolling. We now look at the babies in the womb as disposable. On what basis? On perhaps a mother's choice, a mother's desire to live a certain kind of life, and oops, that baby will get in the way of that lifestyle or that preferred way of conducting her career, her family life, what have you. And so we're looking at people as disposable there. But also notice another common thread here with the homosexual and civil union issue is the desires of the heart. In the abortion debate, the whole abortion issue, what is it that prompts mothers to want to abort their children? That desire. One, they have the desire to want to have sex whenever they want, without repercussions, without consequences, if you will. And two, they want no downside to whatever they want to do. It's feel good about anything and everything in life.
And what you always hear is that they want control over their own body.
Right. Control over their own body. Mm-hmm. To which I might ask, well, what about the control before that event that leads to the pregnancy?
So is this adoption part of their concept of furthering the agenda too? Is that a side benefit for them? Maybe they really indeed want to have a child. Okay, give them the benefit of the doubt there. They have a desire to raise a child. But does this further the agenda, whether or not the child takes up the same lifestyle or not? The child grows up thinking that this is normal.
Yes, and then, it does influence.
And how does that impact the fabric of the culture, you know?
Paul, when we talk about sin in scriptural and theological terms, we have to remember part of that is taking something good, something God has given us, something God's created mm-hmm. and even sanctified through his Son, Jesus Christ, and twisting it and turning it to something that's not so good. The gift is still there. So, for example, two women living together as lesbians may want a child. Okay, great. That's a great desire. God pre-programmed it into to women, hardwired that into women, to have children. That's great. We can understand that. But in this circumstance of a civil union, a homosexual marriage, that gets twisted out of perspective,
out of God's intent,
out of his good gift, mm-hmm. and then it leads to all kinds of other things. So yes, it does affect the children. And now the only thing they can do is go for adoption if they want children. But then, yes, it does affect the children in the end because they're going to see this lifestyle, they're going to witness it, and they're going to say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, and this will just perpetuate over and over again and mm-hmm. snowball, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Becomes a new normal. Let's go to the phones, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mark, you are on KFUO with Pastor Randy Asbury.
Yes, hi, thank you.
Good morning.
Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I have been really perplexed by the issues of having to live in this world and try to be a Christian. And this is one of those examples amongst many that I just have been hard time getting my mind wrapped around because, I mean, like you had mentioned earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, like there's the issue of whether or not they're going to force church organizations to do adoptions. As though there's some sort of, like it's okay, like Christians can be okay with it as long as we don't have to follow some rule, but it's okay if the state allows other people to adopt to homosexual couples. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is that what you were saying, or is that just an issue that...
Can you explain what you're saying a bit more for me, Mark?
Absolutely. as far as adoption, to homosexual couples, and or marriage, like you'll hear this sort of distinction made, like, well, as long as we're not married in a church, just let us do what we do and you do what you do, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, each go your separate way.
Yeah, we're not going to get married in a church, we're not going to force you guys to do that or whatever, but just let us do our thing. But what's implicitly really wrong about that is that you're still one people under at least the state, and so you're forcing one group to recognize something in another group because it's the same law. Does that make sense?
Okay, I think I see where you're going. Yeah, that's a catch-22, isn't it, Mark? Being Christians, we hold to God's word. We have our first identities in the church as God's people, his children, his Christians. And at the same time, we do live in a world where a lot of people are not Christians. So, yeah, in a way, we do have to, I'm going to use this word guardedly, tolerate each other. But I mean that in the original sense of the word, that we don't agree with what they're doing, but we do have to kind of live together on this fallen world. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Well, yes. That is actually going right where I was going, is that I don't actually see any Christians acting as a people. They don't have a will that's... that shows that they are a people because, you know, we all use the same dollars. Our dollars fund the same abortions. It keeps the country alive that has the same laws with all the different agendas that are not Christian running around. We use the same amoral banking system that doesn't give a hoot about who Jesus is. You know, I mean, all these things. And I'm like, I don't really see where Christians are a people. They wouldn't even know how to be a people. They just aren't a people.
You mean like a community of people, a people together?
Yeah, if we were a people, we would act that way, but we're not. We're just a bunch of people with sort of a mentalist sense. Like we go, oh, well, I think that. Well, but we don't do it. So it's kind of ridiculous because it's like we're so divided that it doesn't even matter. All of our opinions, they just don't even matter. We could say we believe the Bible all day long. It doesn't matter.
Because we don't have a unified agenda. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we don't
like the opposition does.
Right, we don't have a, like, say we were to, this is just what I postulate, if we were to really gain a control over ourselves, have self-control, we'd abandon the use of say, dollars, because dollars are everything. They control everything. And we would use an ecclesiastical money that would come away from those practices. And we would control ourselves. And then we would stop letting the other people, the non-Christians, have control over what we do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see where you're going, Mark. One of the things we have to keep in mind, though, is Jesus does say we are in the world but not of it as his people. We're kind of this hidden community or hidden people, if you will. Remember, he also tells parables of like the leaven and the flour or the seed in the soil. A big part of God's kingdom, God's family, God's people, is that we are hidden in this world. Now, yes, we're put here. We're here to trust our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the salvation he so freely gives us, the life he gives us, everything that God gives us. But, you know, being God's people is hidden, first of all, but we do live in the world still, and we do try to work for good the best we can. Love our neighbor.
I think you misquoted Jesus, though.
Being in the world but not of it?
He did not say that we were not of it. He commanded us to not be of it. And so the question is, I see us being of the world all the time. I don't see us actually not being of the world. I mean, it was a command. It was not an affirmation.
Well, you're right. The temptation is always to be a little too worldly, to fit into the culture a little too much. And yes, maybe we Christians need to stand out a bit more, stand on the Word of God, stand on the teachings of the Christian faith as revealed in the Scriptures. I think you have a good point there, Mark. That yes,
I don't think we do it at all, though. You're saying a little more. We don't do it at all. It's categorically impossible.
Well,
we don't even do that.
Welcome to a fallen, sinful world, my friend. But
well, why are you guys talking about it on the radio, then, if you're going to just fall back on the, well, we're sinners? I mean, why talk about it?
Because we are trying to teach people, like yourself and other listeners, what does this Christian faith look like? You know, not just what do we believe, how do we worship on Sundays, that sort of thing. Those are very important. But also, what does this look like day to day? How do we respond to these issues? You bring up some very good points. Yes, we can certainly respond more as God's people on these issues, maybe a bit more, not strongly, but apparently and vocally, that sort of thing. Kind of like the Catholic Charities case in Illinois there. They are standing up for their faith, their beliefs. Yes, we Christians can stand to do a lot more of that all the time. You are exactly right on that. But at the same time, we are God's people, and we are still in his church by his grace. And that is what remains paramount, you know, number one priority, if you will. So God will keep his people. We do need to trust that. God will keep his people close to him. He knows who the saved are, and he keeps them with him. And he still wants others to come into that bunch, too. Sinners though they are. Does that make any sense?
I hope to find these people you're talking about.
Mark, thanks for the call. I don't know if we'll satisfy you today. Hang in there with us. All right. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll come back. Herman, be patient. We'll get to you here. You know what I was just thinking as we went to the break? We're talking about a church and state issue here. What if you owned a family restaurant and there's a gay or lesbian couple in there having a romantic evening, kissing over their table?
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Ask them to leave? You're sued.
Can I think about that over the break?
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, you're right. That's a good point.
Oh, brother, where are we headed? What a culture. We'll be right back with more. Ask the Pastor.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
Johann Sebastian Bach once called music an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delight of the soul. We believe the great Lutheran composer got it right. That's why we're continuing the tradition of timeless classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. Check us out, the greatest music in the world, streaming 24/7 on classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Kansas was on its way to being the first abortion-free state. A new law requires abortion mills have the same minimum safety standards as any ambulatory surgical centers, like proper emergency equipment, lightings and ventilation, spaces for sterilization of surgical equipment, bathrooms and a licensed nurse when surgeries are done. Nothing outrageous, just minimum standards to get a license. But all the abortion mills inspected in Kansas by the state health officials were failing to pass. So one abortion mill canceled a scheduled inspection and sued to stop the law and keep their unsafe back alley standards. Then a district judge appointed by pro-abortion Bill Clinton blocked the law from being enacted. Once again, a judge is playing politics from the bench, thumbing his nose at the people.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
More same-sex adoptions? I'm Norman Hall with Religion Roundup. Adoption agencies and lawyers in New York are predicting an adoption boom created by the thousands of same-sex couples who will be able to marry later this month. The state already permits unmarried couples, both gay and straight, to adopt children. But adoption experts say the marriages will bolster a couple's case. In Illinois, state officials won't renew foster care and adoption contracts with Catholic Charities, which has received state funds for placing children with families for years. Catholic Charities says Illinois' new civil unions law threatens some religious beliefs. Family Research Council advisor Peter Sprigg agrees.
I think it's shameful that the right of conscience of these faith-based organizations is not being protected.
The father of North Carolina Senator Richard Burr has died. The Reverend David Burr formerly pastored the First Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem for more than 25 years. He was 90. With Religion Roundup, I'm Norman Hall.
Most Christians know that the first miracle Jesus did was changing the water into wine. But are you aware of his second miracle? On the next broadcast, Pastor Mark Smith will join us in discussing this second miracle, which Jesus did in spite of the fact that the person requesting the miracle did not have saving faith.
Weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Every family struggles with the relationships between parents and children at some point, but it's especially challenging when you're a blended family. In the new book, We're Not Blended, We're Pure Reed, Diana Lucier Brandmeier and Marty Lintvedt detail a survivor's guide to blended families. You'll learn Diana's story, a path that she and her husband Ed have traveled on their blended family journey. It could be similar to yours. We're Not Blended, We're Pure Reed. Published by CPH. It's Ask the Pastor on the Bible Study on KFUO Radio, a listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Randy Asbury is our co-host today and our guest and leading the discussion here. And let's say we go back to the phones and catch a thought from Herman here. Herman, thanks for holding.
Yeah, thank you. I think one thing that has opened the door to this is the previous so-called intelligentsia of the culture, in a general description sense, has set up an ideology that has weakened marriage between a man and a woman to where it's down to an emotional, erotic, recreational satisfaction, which puts it on the same par as how the homosexual views their predilections and their going carryings on. And so now marriage has, in the formal sense they're trying to do New York or the civil union in Illinois, try to bring in the gay union to make an equivalency of a man-woman reunion after you've reduced it to the most basic emotional satisfaction rather than the offices of duties and the normal role of men and women in marriage. And it remains to be seen exactly how stable these so-called gay marriages or civil unions are out of a very small percent of the population that these people are who claim to practice it. I'm almost certain that you'll see that not all of them are getting marriage or civil union licenses to boot, because they're not really interested in that. They're interested in their erotic recreation. and you're putting children into a situation where they're clearly being used, like in the case of Rosie O'Donnell. She adopted children probably as a front to help justify her lifestyle and public relations effort to that. So you've got those kind of efforts out there that are very unstable, and putting children into given unstable relationships, and it's going to remain to be seen how that's going to figure out down the way.
Do you think there's a double standard at work here also? They don't want our ideology imposed on them, but we're certainly getting theirs imposed on us, and they're in the minority. I think that's what's frustrating to listeners like Mark.
Yes, I think that's exactly correct. Certainly the organized gay efforts of lobbying and so forth, I would say essentially want a superiority over society. They aren't content to be just accepted or left alone. They want to redefine society. And they're going to start with propaganda in the public schools to try to teach young people the acceptability of these practices. They deem that their model of society is superior.
What are we to expect when we tell God to take a hike and get out of his creation, like we did back in the Garden of Eden? And we're still doing it, by the way. We're trying to say, God, get out of here. Get out of my life. Get out of my culture. Get out of my society. Get out of my courtrooms. Get out of my politics. You name it. We're telling God, get out of here. And this is what we're left with. Now we're trying to find meaning in all sorts of ways. And Herman, you're right on target in the whole feelings and emotions and the romance and things like this, at the expense of the responsibilities, the duties, the care for one another, especially for children coming along and raising them up right. So yeah, a lot of these things are at play. A lot of them are just swirling around here, kind of like a big tornado, if you will.
Yes, indeed. The Apostle Paul even admonished in his epistles to do not take your wives and lust like the heathen do. While he upheld marriage as an honorable estate, he also saw that, you know, within that, the Word of God and the service of neighbor and the control of one's and shaping of one's feelings and the use of them are to be important.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Take a spouse in honor and purity, not in lust and all those other feel-good things at the moment. You're right.
Herman, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Andre, you're on KFUO with Pastor Randy Asbury.
Good morning to you both.
Hi, Andre.
I will start by saying that I was reared as a Catholic. I have sought out information on my own from various sources as I've grown throughout my life. I came out of a home wherein basically put, if I just had to label it, the politics were definitely liberal. I'm also a black man. I grew up at a time when I saw a whole lot of change going on in terms of human rights politics. I've grown past using the phrase civil rights because I think that's too limiting, because what you're talking about are human rights, or what we now deem to be human rights, at least in these last 50 years. That said, I would never begin to tell a Christian, a Buddhist, a Jew, a Muslim, how they should or should not believe. That's not my business. However, when and where the dollars of the state, the federal government, are concerned, the supreme law in this country is that of the federal constitution. I will abide that. I will not put anybody's church, not even the Catholic Church, before the U.S. Constitution. As far as abortion is concerned, first of all, I don't even believe, as a man, I have the right even to get involved in that argument. That if a situation concerning women, and ultimately that should always be left to the decision of a woman. I don't even know of any man who would tolerate having a woman tell him that he has to have a vasectomy. Men just don't tolerate that kind of thing from women.
That's a different thing, though, Andre. Much different.
Well, it's about control, though, ultimately. Now, I do not believe that abortion should be misused. Hear me. I don't believe it should be misused as a form of birth control, because you, if you want to call it that, were careless or whatever, I don't believe in that. However, it should be an option amongst other options. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to impose whatever would be my personal beliefs on that to on someone else. By the way, one of the callers, maybe not knowingly, did say something that is a lie. Federal tax dollars are not used to support abortion. That specifically is prohibited. That's one of the arguments that was used against Planned Parenthood.
Did you have an opinion on adoption before we go?
Yes, I do. As far as the situation, and I presume you all are talking about Illinois with Catholic Charities.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just wanted to get it right. I have a problem with that situation from the beginning, because this was a church, or is a church organization, accepting tax dollars. That should not even be happening. But since they were accepting tax dollars, yes, the state law, the federal law, should prevail. If you don't want to allow or take part in the abortions, adoptions, that's fine for your organization. I would never tell them that they would have to do it. But if you don't want to do that, and this is now state mandated, well, then you need to leave that money with the state and shut up.
Well, and many of them are, to be fair to them. They have said, okay, we're not taking that money because we don't want to compromise our beliefs.
And I would never say anything else about it. And you know what? You should never compromise your beliefs. But if you are, because basically what they're saying is, they're saying, homosexuals, we don't believe that you're good enough to adopt. But
no, that's not what they're saying. That's not what they're saying.
Are, but they don't mind.
They're saying homosexuality goes against the beliefs of the Christian faith.
Okay, but they're willing to take tax dollars that come out of the pockets of homosexuals just like everybody else. The tax dollars are indiscriminate. Like I said, if it's against their mission statement, fine. I got no problem with that. Just leave the money alone.
Right, and that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
I don't believe that any church group should be accepting tax dollars, state, federal, or local anyway. I believe in we don't have it, but I believe that we actually should have an absolute separation of church and state to protect both.
Andre, well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we'll have to go back to that whole abortion issue. It is really not a tool of any kind, unless you want to consider killing another human being a tool. I don't know what that tool would be used for. I don't know why it would even be in there. But it is a strange issue to say that abortion is a tool. No, it is clearly against God's design for life, that He gives life, and He gives moms and dads to procreate and give children life, and so on through the ages. So abortion as a tool is an odd kind of thing. I'm going to have to disagree with our caller on that one.
Yeah. I don't think we'll ever see eye to eye.
That's
with
right.
Andre. Andre, thanks for keep listening, Andre. Linda, your question or comment for Pastor Randy Asbury on KFUO Radio.
Hi, Brother Paul. Hi,
good
Pastor.
Morning.
Hi, Linda.
It's really a hard subject when we talk about manifest sin. And you know, people being, it's just a mockery that Satan makes out of people. And I wanted to share something with you. We were over in St. Genevieve Saturday, and they were having a Civil War reenactment, and you've heard of those.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it was awesome. You're standing on the street, and here comes a full, you know, platoon of Civil War soldiers down the street in full dress, and you feel like you're going back in time. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is a battle that has already been won, and they're remembering it. And And I think, as a Christian, how do we remember the battle that has already been won and the victory that has already been won for us to stop us from being made a mockery, you know, by Satan and the power that Jesus was brought into this world to destroy the works of the devil. And yes, these people need to live with the consequences that you can't have everything as a normal family, but also take them back to where that battle was won too. When you say, why, sprinkle them with that blood, you know, remember the cross. That's where they may have the power to resist Satan, and their eyes would be open that, you know, this is just a mockery, that they cannot be happy, really happy and truly happy. You know, and they can say all they want that this is, you know, no worse than any other sin. Well, my sin, you know, let's say my littlest sin is as bad as any sin, and let's look at sin as something that Jesus has victory over and stand in that victory and let him help us with it, because there is power in that blood to help people out of that situation. And if you have someone sitting before you, give them that information that can help free them. And that's the only place they can be freed, is where that battle was won.
Linda, you are exactly right. No matter what the sin is, whether it's abortion, homosexuality, my little pet sins, your little sins,
right,
things that don't seem as big, they're all the same, aren't they? And they are all covered with the blood of Christ.
They're all serious.
Yes, they're all serious, because they drive us away from God, right?
What is at stake is that if I don't realize I have sin, I won't need the blood. But he does make us into a new creation with that blood. And I'm not saying we're going to be perfect, but he does deliver us.
You're exactly right. You're exactly
Thank
right.
You,
and he came for those who sin through abortion, those who sin through homosexuality, those who sin in, you know, murder, theft, you name it. Yes, Jesus came for them too. And that is our joy and our privilege as Christians. Despite our sin, we get to proclaim that good news too. The murderers, the homosexuals, the abortionists, and so on. Right? That is a great privilege, isn't it?
I'm thinking this morning, I don't know, I just got it in my head how a priest, if he wants to bless something, he would go around and sprinkle. And I always thought, what is he sprinkling? And I'm thinking, he's sprinkling the blood. You know, whatever he's sprinkling represents the blood. And whatever you say in our churches, what our pastors say, and the things that we share in our communion and our baptism, these are all the blood of Jesus, and they're powerful to deliver us from
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Joe, who's on KFUO with Pastor Randy Asbury.
Hi, good discussion. In my experience, I'm not Paul Lutheran Church, but in my church, there seems to be a lot of confusion about how we interact with our culture. As far as what, in my opinion, it's lack of clarity as far as what God considers, how he thinks. And I'm just wondering about the whole concept of authority. Jesus said plainly that all of it comes from God.
Right.
And then how God, I know he allows this to be dispensed in our world in a number of ways, a number of different kinds of government. But ultimately, I think leadership, pastors in the church, can make a pretty strong case that God's idea would be that authority originates with the parents towards their children. And that's one comment I have, just for consideration. And the next one is that where the second half of the greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, I mean, that's purely, or clearly in my mind, that would indicate our interaction with our neighbors in this world. He's not talking about eternity there as far as what comes after. He's talking about the here and now. And the question of, you know, when we're making laws that reflect God's moral standard for the human race, is that not loving your neighbor? Like, I just don't think Christians believe it, because I look at it and think, well, the church in the U.S. is not passionate about defending these things, And so I think, well, it's not because they lack the spirit, it's because they don't believe it as much as, it's not clear, there's confusion there. So if we really believe it, we would stand for it more.
What do you think, Pastor?
Well, that's going to happen any time you get sinners together. Some will be stronger in that belief and expressing it. Others will be a little bit less energetic, shall we say? Kind of like tried to tell the other caller. What you're dealing with here, Joe, is we are sinners at the same time. And yes, we're going to have our weaknesses. We're going to have our faults and our foibles and trip and stumble along the way. And that's why I appreciate what Linda, the previous caller, said, that we keep coming back to the blood of Christ.
Right.
Let that cover us. And so I hope that helps with that concern or question there, that yes, we may not see what's going on or what we'd like to see, but you know what? The Holy Spirit is always working in His church.
Well, that's where I'm saying, like in my church, I can't speak for Lutheran church. I don't believe that as much is being done as is possible, and I'm not saying going outside of God's Word, but I'm saying take God's Word on occasion and making a real clear case for the true things that God would have us do as we interact with our culture. And again, I know that there's a limit to what you can do to persuade people to action, but that's my experience in my own church, is that the leadership seems to just think that we don't talk about politics here. And I think that's not a good position to have. Thank you for the discussion.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling in. He brings up a very good point, Paul, that yes, we Christians could stand to be a little bit stronger in our stand against things like abortion, homosexuality, other sins, other vices. We could be stronger about supporting the work of Catholic Charities, Lutheran Family and Children's Services in terms of providing adoptions and foster
but it does
parents
seem
and that
like
sort of
we're
thing.
Limited.
That is good work that we can do, and we can always do more of that.
But we're so limited because we can't cross that church and state dividing line. We really need to come at these things logically more than biblically, I think, in the public square. For instance, does a man have a right to tell a woman not to have an abortion? I mean, does a man have a right to tell a woman not to kill a two-year-old? Well, of course.
Yes, yes.
So a male perspective on abortion is just as valid as a male perspective
especially
on
murder. Especially if that male is the father of the child, I would think.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
There's a biological connection there.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But you see, we're always looking for the evidence that something's working, you know, that the Christians are standing up and being counted and making their voice heard and everything. And that's what we talked about earlier with the Catholic Charities. They're standing on their principles, their beliefs, and that's good. Yes, we can always use more of that, especially as Christians. That helps society. That really does.
So is the issue, how do we as Christians cross into the other kingdom and succeed without bringing the Bible with us, because then we get defeated?
We don't either.
Because then we've crossed a line.
Well, we're already in the other kingdom.
Yeah.
Right, by God's word, His teaching. We're already in both kingdoms at the same time. And as Christians, we always bring the Bible with us. We always bring Jesus with us.
It seems like the other kingdom makes us deal with this battle with one arm tied behind our back.
Yes. But that, I think that is partly a faulty understanding of the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
What the Constitution outlines for us is that the government shall not establish a religion. That's the real separation. That Washington, D.C. does not tell Missouri or California or Nevada or wherever, you shall worship this way. That's what's in the Constitution.
But what prevails in public thinking is freedom from religion.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's why I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
kick God out and we think we're fine and do our
So are we limited? Are we handicapped when it comes to these public issues?
No.
No.
No. It might seem like it socially, but truly we are not handicapped because we have God on our side, God's Word on our side. We have His teaching that says, you are here to be salt and light to the world. We are not here to get the results we're looking for. You know, a great quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer as I recall, talks about, he was preaching to a church and said, church, confess Christ. Don't worry about, I'm paraphrasing here, don't worry about the figuring and the numbers and the success rates and things like this. Just confess Christ. And then he spoke as if Jesus were talking, I'll take care of the rest. You know, that's what Jesus promises. And sorry about that. And so that's what we need to keep in mind, even in the social issues, that yes, we are here to be the salt and the light, to bring God's truth to bear on these cultural issues, to try to bring the healing to those who are burdened by the homosexuality, by committing abortions and other sins. We're here to bring Jesus to them, his forgiveness, his life, his salvation. That's our main job. Why do we stand against homosexual marriages or against abortion? So we can do just that. Bring the gospel out for people to say, hey, here's real life. Here's Jesus himself who died on a cross for you. As Linda reminded us, rest in his blood. Let that cover you. That's our main job. And so these other issues are simply, what we need to do is look at them and say, they are simply kind of the doorways, the entryways to get to talk about the real healing, the real sexuality that God gives us, the real life he gives us in the children that he brings about through families and through the whole sexual thing and everything. So there's a big picture here. We're not confined really in any way. It might seem like it in society and culture, and that's okay, because Satan's trying to fight against us too. He's trying to fight, and he's using all these tools, the government, societal norms, cultural thinking. He's using all these tools to try to dissuade us from God's truth. So we don't need to be shy about jumping into the fray. Maybe we need to do that more, yes, as salt and light to the earth. We don't need to be shy about that, don't need to be afraid of that, because we are free. We are free as his children to work for the good of all the other people around us, even if they're cursing us, even if they're going to sue us in court one day for taking a stand against a civil union law, even if they're going to take us to the gallows, like many Christians have suffered through the centuries. So this is a...
We can take Jesus into the ballot box, too.
Yeah, take him into the ballot box, take your Christian faith there, and vote your Christian faith. You know, does that candidate match up? Is he going to promote policies that are in sync with or consonant with the Christian faith?
As I consider how the homosexual agenda is chipping away at us and winning little skirmishes here and there, states are beginning to chip away at abortion rights. They're doing a pretty good job of it, one by one.
Yeah, yeah. There are some good signs out there, too, yes. Mm-hmm. And another thing to remember is this happens all the time over history. You know, where's the Roman Empire, for example? It went the way of way of the dodo, way of the dinosaur, if you will. And who knows, maybe our society is heading that way, too. I hope not, but never know. But our kingdom is in heaven.
Pastor Randy Asbury, our guest today, who will also be co-hosting the morning show tomorrow, Morning Essentials on KFUO Radio. We'll look forward to that. Thank you, Pastor. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Paul. You as well. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. And stay tuned for Moments of Assurance with Pastor Mark Hawkinson next on KFUO Radio. Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.